VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, it happens to many. You're going through life when all of a sudden there's a phone call indicating a tragedy has occurred. Or perhaps you visit the doctor only to receive some devastating news, or perhaps a spouse or family member is suddenly taken. It's as if you've been punched in the stomach or the rug's been pulled out from underneath you and your life is forever changed. Perhaps you're going through such a time right now, or perhaps you have a friend or loved one that is. Our program today will be addressing that very matter, what happens when normal is gone. It's our privilege to have in studio today Dr. Les Olala, who is founder and director of Building Great Leaders. He's a former pastor, staff evangelist, and former president of what was then known as Northland Baptist Bible College. He's also a member of our board of directors here at VCY America. And Dr. Olala, nice to have you here today.
Oh, a blessing to be with you, Jim.
There are Christians who believe that if they are faithful to the Lord, faithful in church, having a daily quiet time, faithful in service and serving the Lord faithfully, that somehow they're going to be immune from a time of severe trial or a tragedy. I'm just wondering, is there a scripture to back that up, that we will never go through trials or testings?
Well, unfortunately, Jim, the example would go the other direction. Mm-hmm. I think we see anyone who abandoned to the perfect will of God ended up in less than ideal circumstances. And I wish it were true that if you did A, B, C, D, then trouble would be no more. And I think some people have an expectation that I was so faithful, I served the Lord, I loved the Lord, I gave, and this is what he allowed happen to me. And Satan then gets in to put a question mark about the character of God, and we forget that we were born to be reflectors of the nature and the character of our God, literally to glorify him. And oftentimes we glorify him through how we respond to these sufferings.
Let me ask you this, and we're going to be getting to some four important points that you've come out in dealing with these things when normal is gone. But let me ask you this. How do we know if when the rug has been pulled out from underneath our feet, when that normal is gone, whether this is something that we are being disciplined for, chastised by the Lord, or if this is something that is a test of character or commitment, a test of that commitment?
Well, I think for a believer, he is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and he would know very quickly if there was a conviction, and he would say, God, I acknowledge this as a chastisement. David did that in Psalm 32, Psalm 51. He acknowledged the chastisement of the consequence of sin. But I think if the person would examine himself and say, you know, like a Job scenario, that's why Job became so argumentative to these so-called friends, that show me, prove to me what I have done. And then eventually he goes and begs an audience with God. And until God gave him this pop quiz, Job got silenced. But I do believe that a person knows if this is a consequence of evil, but another person doesn't know that. And another person cannot presuppose that this person is going through that because he obviously is hiding some type of a sin. And often most of the time, an outside judge would miss the real point of what was going on. But I think an indwelling spirit believer will know that this is God's hand of judgment and conviction and correction, or this is a further step to conform me to the image of his son.
Yeah, and so out of that, I've heard people say it's never God's will for a person to become sick or ill in any way. That's not true, is it?
No, obviously not. I mean, you have too many examples that God uses sickness to drive people to himself. And if God never wanted us ill, if all we had to do was follow his commandments and do his will, then we would never be sick. There is no biblical base for saying that if a person is sick, it's a consequence of some sin in the life.
From time to time, those phone calls do happen to individuals where all of a sudden some earth-shattering thing happens when that normal is gone, normal as we knew it. And you actually present four action steps to take when all of a sudden your normal is gone. And I'd like to work through those with you. And I'd like to begin with the first one, and you call it acknowledge. Tell us what you mean by acknowledge.
Yeah, well, actually, this goes back 31 years when Charlene and I were going through two very difficult scenarios in our life. This is how I counseled myself. And in the last 31 years, I have been able to counsel probably hundreds of people who were in devastating circumstances. I mean, knowing, that's why I said when normal leaves, you'll never know, wake up and know normal again. And I think the first thing is you have to acknowledge this is true. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow morning and this will have been a dream. I won't wake up and that loved one really didn't die. I've talked to several who have said, you know, even months afterward that they, oh, he's back. I heard his car come in the driveway. And then only to go out and look and he isn't there because they're in that acknowledging stage. This is indeed true. I'm not going to wake up and it not be true. That's step number one. For some, that happens quickly. And for others, it hangs on a long time. I'm not going to acknowledge that this actually happened, but then eventually you have to do that.
Now, part of that acknowledgement, can we jump too fast into that, too? I think of the person who goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, I see something here. And we go back, and we acknowledge the worst, that the worst is happening, and we presume the worst. Can we acknowledge too quickly?
Oh, I think especially in a scenario like that, where it's a possibility that something is wrong, as compared to the fact that something indeed is wrong. And yes, very quickly, you can jump to a judgment, say, well, I'm dying, doctor sees something, and then you end up living in fear.
Yeah, anxiety and fear.
And anxiety because you have presupposed that is the worst absolute news that you could receive.
So after acknowledge, your second A word is to accept. What is it we're to accept?
Well, accepting to me of the four steps that I have is the hardest part because accepting the scenario means I completely trust God in this circumstance. Some never accept and die bitter. A scenario comes into their life, they do not accept it. Mm-hmm. They turn to blaming God. They change their attitude regarding the church. I was faithful. I've done my best. I've raised their kids the way we intended to raise the kids. Or I married thinking that we would be married for many, many years. And suddenly the wife comes home and says, I don't want to be married anymore. Whatever it is, there has to be an accepting, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. So I have to completely trust God to be at work in this scenario. And what happened in the garden, and the first use of language was Satan using words to cause Adam and Eve to question the goodness of God. Because that's the first thing that goes into the mind. I won't accept this. God, you're bigger than this. You could have stopped this. You could have stopped that from happening. Why didn't you? If you're the all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty God, why did you not stop this? And so they argue with God for that period of time. And those who, after settling it, and this is during the stinging and hurt of that initial news, there is going to be that natural reaction. But when you finally say, you know, God is bigger than all of this, and God has a very clear purpose in all of this, and I don't want to miss what God is wanting to show me in the midst of all of this.
Dr. Olela, this, what you're saying here is just not theory for you. I mean, you've actually had to live this yourself.
We've gone through several circumstances in our life that in fact, one of the situations that we were in, our son was was had gotten a cut on his wrist. 7-year-old, one of our staff was showing a knife collection. One of them slipped and just clipped him very, very tiny bit. But the next day it festered, and I had just come back from a trip. And he called from school, and he said, "I need to come home. I'm hurting." I said, "Well, Stephen, you're getting a lot of mileage out of that little cut. You stay there." Well, he came home, and I knew, because normally when he'd come home, he'd get out of the car, flip over the swing set, and flip over the couch. And yeah. And when he went in and sat, and I went and looked at his hand, and he had gone to the doctor. The staff brought him to Charlene, and then Charlene took him up. Little cut, but they put a stitch on it. But it was all festered, and we ended up to be 21 days in hospital in a room where we had to put robes on to go in to visit, and ended a gram-negative organism. They said we might lose his hand. If it gets farther, we're going to lose his arm, and if it gets out of his arm, we'll lose him. At the same time, we were going through another very heartbreaking family scenario with our daughter. And I would stay at night at the hospital, and Charlene would spend the day with Stephen while we're going through this other scenario. I'd go to the work in the office, and then I'd go to the hospital at night. I'd go down in the basement, get coffee down in the basement where the snack shop was, and I'd say, "God, I will not thank you for this." Mm-hmm. I mean, by Friday, I said, "I'm not going to win this." And I finally had to say, I had to accept that these scenarios were indeed true. And to make the steps that were necessary to see the things that had to be done based on the fact that these things were indeed true. And it was a total release in my spirit, that accepting portion. "God, your perfect love, your goal for me is that I might be a reflector of the character and the nature of you, and that I might live to the glory and praise of your name. And if this is what it's going to take to be conformed and have the fruit of the Spirit formed in me, thank you." But that was Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and it was not till Friday morning, early in the morning, that I said, "Thank you, Father. You know best, and you are going to shape me into a Christ-likeness that nothing else could have done, that you've allowed into my life." Because you go on faithfully, you teach, you preach, you go back, and what did you surrender, and what did you, and is this how God treats you? Then you realize, if I wake up and I'm not in hell, that's more than I deserve.
Yeah,
that's a good way to start the day. Wow. And I thought, good night. Well, who am I to question the goodness of God in what he allowed in that thing? And that's why I believe the accepting part is the hardest thing. And you will counsel some who just will not accept it. Mm-hmm. I can't. I cannot accept this. And then they live with comparisons. Why did this not happen to somebody else?
Yeah.
And so we become the losers in that scenario. The comparing then gets deadly.
We're going to be back in just 1 minute. Dr. Les Olele is our guest here today on Crosstalk, What to Do When Normal is Gone. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what were the flying dinosaurs?
Chris, the flying reptiles like the pterodactyls were not really dinosaurs. By definition, dinosaurs walked on land with bones different from the flying reptiles. But they're often in the same discussion, usually as being huge reptiles from the great age of reptiles. Of course, I disagree with the term age of reptiles. I think all animals were created during creation week, flying animals on day 5 and land animals on day 6. But, you know, there's a lot of evidence that these flying reptiles lived at the same time as humans. Sober historians of yesteryear describe such beasts and even drew pictures of them. And the American Indians even drew pictures of the Thunderbird, and their drawings are similar to the Pteranodon. Make no mistake, Chris, the evidence fits the back-to-Genesis truth of recent creation of all things.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today is Dr. Les Olala, the founder and director of Building Great Leaders. By the way, the website is bgleaders.org. bgleaders.org. We'll tell you more about that here in just a bit. But we're talking about the topic today of what to do when normal is gone, and working through four different steps. First step was that of acknowledge. We're in step number two right now, that of accepting. And Dr. Olala, if I can get just a bit personal here as well, my wife and I have an adult son with special needs. He has a diagnosis of Angelman syndrome, in which he's missing part of his 15th chromosome, and as a result, he has rather significant mental developmental issues. We've accepted this from the Lord, but others have not. And we've had others who have come to us and said, well, why do you want your son this way? Why aren't you praying for healing? You don't have enough faith. Why don't you try this? Why don't you have that? How do we handle this area of acceptance when one is accepting of the circumstances, but well-meaning believers around them are not?
Well, I think nothing that comes into our life can be about us. In other words, we have our pride and our flesh wants to make it about me. Mm-hmm. And even caring friends want to make it about us instead of what is God doing here? How do we want God to be seen in the midst of all of this? This is what you have done in your circumstance. But if it becomes about me, then I will never settle to accept what God has allowed, because I feel cheated, because this person is worse than that, and why would I not have that circumstance they mm-hmm. have instead? Mm-hmm. And other people have to accept the fact that God allows certain things for his glory, and that the reaction to that is his glory. And the reaction really proves character more than action does. Mm-hmm. And how we react to what God brings in is really a proof of his glory being reflected in us. But in the fact, we all want to say, well, God could heal, God could do this, God could do that. And I just finished teaching a block class at a Bible Institute, and a boy in April had an automobile accident, and he was in that class in a wheelchair. Mm. But he has come to the acceptance point, and he really has a glow about him. Mm-hmm. And I could see him when I was teaching that the truth was hitting when I talked to him personally, not one hint of bitterness within him. I met with a couple up in Alaska just about 3 weeks ago. Came on Monday night, we were doing a state pastor conference, and said, we lost our son. Hmm. And I didn't know what he meant. And then he said he committed suicide a week ago, 19-year-old boy, very talented boy, gifted boy. Yet we found him dead in the field. They had a large farming operation, and he had shot himself. But they were already, of course, they were still in shock, mm-hmm. acknowledging. But they also testified already how God had used that situation for this godly couple. By every testimony, they were faithful, godly people. And yet they were glorifying God in that.
Yeah, and this is where Scripture so comes to play. I still can recall even the night we were on our way to midweek service. We had a missions conference that was going on at church when the telephone rang. There was that call, you know, when normal is gone.
Yes.
And it was the neurologist who indicated what our son's diagnosis was and indicated some of the things would be in store for in years to come. But the verse that gave me such great comfort at that time is from Job 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And just the fact, what a comfort it was, Dr. Olala, knowing that God knew all about this even before that phone rang. And that's how God works in our lives. The circumstances we go through, God knows, and we can trust in him.
Yeah, and he's never shocked about anything.
Yeah.
And one man said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God?
That's right.
And when you stop to realize whether it's... See, even if God didn't cause a person to sin and have a bad choice, he can use what... that circumstance is with a proper response. What God doesn't cause, God will use for his glory.
And that takes us to your third letter, A, adapt.
Yes.
And that's the third step in this. Tell us what you mean by adapt.
Well, adapting is taking the step of, okay, I've acknowledged this is true. I've accepted God knows best. It's not going to change, but God knows best. I've accepted this. Now, third step is adapt. Now, normal is gone. So create a new normal and make a ministry out of that new normal. I think Paul was talking about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The things that you have gone through, you can use to show others the grace of God that was manifested for you in that same scenario. Who can better help a widower from a husband taken suddenly in an accident, right in the middle of prime of life, and yet now she's alone or raising three children alone? And who knows better how to minister to that lady than someone who has been there and can say, let me tell you what God did in my life. Let me tell you my testimony in that. The scenarios that we've gone through in life, and some that go 31 years back, I still get phone calls from missionaries, from pastors, from families, from individuals who knew some of our situations, even this many years later, saying, I know you've been through something like this. How did you get through this? How did you respond? And you share what, and some of the things we just want to hide and disappear. No, you make yourself available. And so you adapt and create a new normal, and now that new normal becomes a ministry. And I'm taking that scenario to go and make it something that is to God's glory. And I will share how the grace of God was at work in my life.
So the comfort that we receive from the Lord, that's the same comfort that we can help others as they go through such times.
Yeah, with a joy.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, man, I would have not chosen this to happen, but I would not go back and have it not happen because of the result of my conformity to Christ in the midst of all of this, because we have a tendency to function in pride, self-will, self-exaltation, the four gods that we like, my name, my will, my things, my pleasures. These are the four God shelves that we have in our hearts. Well, put your reputation on the altar, and your only identity is who you are in Christ. And then it's not my will, it's his will.
Have you found, as you've gone through different trials or struggles in your life of yesteryear, that it seems that the Lord causes people to cross your path who have also gone through that or are going through it so that you can indeed follow through on that principle?
Yeah, constantly. And I don't mean every day or every week, but it's a constant pattern that people will come up and talk to you and say, we know so-and-so, or they will unload a scenario and say, I don't think anybody understands. Well, well, wait a minute here. Let's talk. And you see the grace of God. And the truth of the matter is, it's just like when the Elisha, the prophet, was with the Shunammite, and he said, her soul is vexed in her, and God has hid it from me. That son died. She knew exactly where to go. And I thought, how many people are sitting in morning services in our good Bible preaching churches and are vexed in their soul? Many angry at God, but would never say it because they fear that they would be totally rejected or judged. But they're questioning God, and there's really an inward anger at God in the midst of that.
So we're talking about what to do when normal is gone. We've talked about acknowledge, accept, adapt, and then your fourth principle is accelerate. Now, that seems like a strange word. What do you mean by accelerate?
Well, I'd say the key to spiritual success is a bad memory and good vision. Paul said, forgetting that which is behind, pressing forth unto that which is before. You can't change yesterday, but you can allow God to use you for the rest of the days that you have left. to accelerate. Now, if the Apostle Paul had laid down at night after preaching or after working hard and had a brief moment and Satan hammered his mind, you killed Christians. You had Stephen put to death. According to his testimony before Agrippa, I forced Christians to blaspheme. Now, if he sat and meditated, that's what I did, he would have never advanced forward. He said clearly, forgetting what's behind, pressing forth unto that which is before, I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We can't live mulling over the past. You can't live mulling over a circumstance you cannot change. You accept it, you adapt to it, make a ministry out of that, and then accelerate until you are in the Lord's presence to see Him face to face. Plow on with what God has given you and that responsibility. And when I am troubled, the best thing I have found for therapy is to go and meet someone else who has a greater need than I do. You'll go into a mental hospital, go into a hospital where you find suffering people, and you'll walk out of there thinking, boy, I have nothing to complain about.
You know, each of these four points that you've talked about really seems to turn our focus away from self and instead on the Lord or on other people, ministering to other people. Is that an accurate perspective? Is that the intention behind these four points?
It really is, because I started with the premise that our purpose for being alive is to glorify God. When God created Adam, let us make man in our image after our likeness. That was not a physical likeness. We were to be reflectors of the communicable attributes of God. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's His holiness. That's His love. And these things, if they're not being formed in our life, God will bring something in to cause me. There's a pattern He's perfecting, and there are problems He is correcting. And He will allow problems so that the pattern can be perfected. I won't know there's a pattern missing until I'm tested in that area. And then I say, thank you, Lord, for loving me that much that you would allow that situation to show me I'm lacking love, or show me my joy has been happiness, not real joy. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy depends on an anchored relationship with Christ. And a lot of unhappy people are joyful. They're not happy with their circumstance, but they're joyful because their anchor point is the Lord. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is not happiness, it's joy. And that joy comes from that anchored relationship with the Lord, because it is a fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. Dr. Les Olala here with us on Crosstalk today. And in just a few moments, we're going to be opening the phone lines here to give you opportunity to interact with him on these aspects of what to do when normal is gone. And maybe you're going through a circumstance like that right now, or perhaps are dealing with a friend, a loved one who is, and just looking for some guidance even on the issues you're going through. But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a little bit of information here about his ministry, Building Great Leaders. And then be listening here. Formulate your questions for Dr. Olala, and we'll be taking those calls here in just a short time as well. This is Crosstalk on VCY America, what to do when normal is gone. We'll be right back.
Relationships have been shattered due to lack of forgiveness. It's impacted marriages, parents and children, siblings, and even church families as a whole. Some have said that forgiveness is the most difficult commandment we are given as Christians. Why is that? Perhaps it is because it strikes at the core of our pride that says we deserve better than we are getting. Perhaps it seems if we forgive, we are letting that person win in a situation that hurts us in some way. In the book, Forgiven People Forgive, Pastor Jeff Miller shows us where the rubber meets the road. At the heart of why we should forgive is the fact that God has forgiven us and we are commanded to forgive. It's easy for bitterness to take root in a heart that is unforgiving. Forgiven People Forgive is available for a donation of $6 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for Forgiven People Forgive. 1-800-729-9829.
What to do when normal is gone? That's our topic today with Dr. Les Olala, who's the founder and director of Building Great Leaders. The website is bgleaders.org. More on that in just a moment. But just kind of wrapping this discussion up here, Dr. Olala, when we talk about these four A's, acknowledge, accept, adapt, and accelerate, is there any illustration that comes from Scripture of an individual who actually did these very things that you're talking about here, who put this all together and exhibited these points?
Well, I think while we look at the book of Ruth as a great love story, I think chapter one of Ruth illustrates the steps in the life of Naomi that led her to bitterness. And here she was completely normal. In chapter one there, her husband, her two boys, everything was normal. Famine came, and they came with some type of disappointment. That disappointment led to a departure, and that departure led to a disaster. Hmm. They left from the place of bread, the house of bread, and went to Moab, really went to a heathen nation where they should have stayed where God had done. So when they got there, disaster number one, her husband died. Elimelech was gone. And, well, she was adjusting to that, and her two boys died. Mahlon and Chilion died. And now she left only with her two daughters-in-law. And then you see the steps that Naomi started to go through, and we see that the future looked hopeless to her. The daughter-in-law said, "We want to go with you, Mom." "No. I look ahead and everything is black. There's no hope for me. You go back to your home and let me go back to my place." Because to her, the tomorrow looked dark. And a lot of people get in that circumstance. Tomorrow looks very dark. Why even go to church? I mean, we're going to sing song to praise. I have no praise in my heart. And then friends were pushed away. They said, "Mom, we're going." "No, you go back to let me alone," basically. And sometimes when people are in the scenario like this, people try to show love and they push them away. That, you know, "You don't understand. I'm not going to let you into my life." And they become loners in many ways. And then there's a flagrant blaming of God. "I left full, God brought me back empty. The hand of Almighty has gone out against me." So now she's blaming God in the scenario that comes there. And then a flawed testimony, sending them back, her daughters-in-law, "Go back to your land and to your gods." Small g's. I mean, here she is who had taught them about her Jehovah. And now negative circumstance. She was not in that accepting stage and certainly was not adapting to that situation that came. Then a fallen countenance. They came back. She went back to her land and said, "Is this Naomi?" She hadn't been gone that long. Mm. And the commentator seemed to indicate there was a facial change that, "Is this her? Really?" I used to tell our students, after you're 30, your face is your own fault. Because you have and you see somebody who was deeply distressed. Mm-hmm. Their face shows that. And then there was a false view of yesterday where we had it made. I went out full. Well, I thought they left because of famine. God brought me back empty. In other words, I was in had it made. God did this to me. But then there was a failure to realize present blessing surrounded with the barley harvest when she came back. And it was only the miraculous story of Ruth, the Moabitess, who met Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, in a miraculous appointment of God's grace. And Boaz's mom was Rahab the harlot. And here's a Moabitess, a heathen, became knowledgeable of Jehovah, meets Boaz, the son of a harlot, and they are put into the line of the Messiah. And I actually think Proverbs 31 is probably talking about that virtuous woman, Ruth. Mm. That was there. So there was a tremendous story after Naomi began to make her adjustments and acceptance. Then now she began counseling. She began accelerating this relationship because she saw now Boaz coming into the picture And she began to accelerate by counsel giving her that direction. I think that for one, because you could go into many others.
Yeah.
Job would certainly be a major one,
where
he ended up in worship.
What to do when normal is gone? Friends, let's open our phone lines. If you have a question you'd like to ask, perhaps there's a point you just didn't quite grab and you want some clarification on, or perhaps you're going through a time of struggle or challenge yourself, looking for some guidance. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Again, 800-733-9829. Dr. Olila, give us a word about building great leaders.
Well, about 4.5 years ago, Charlene got into her 70s and really started over. And a friend said, why don't you keep doing what you've always been burdened to do, build and strengthen leaders? So we started building great leaders to lift the hands of God's servants and build the hearts of God's people. And so that's really what we've been doing. A lot of mission fields overseas, Africa, Micronesians, down into the Caribbean islands, and then crisscrossing the United States, just trying to lift and encourage leaders. And at the same time, seeing people come to Christ as well. Hmm. But and it's primarily focused on helping those who have the are in the top box on the flowchart. In other words, the target is normally on the person who is in the top box on that flowchart,
mm-hmm.
and realize it's warfare.
Yeah.
And there is a real enemy. And so we try to take the Word of God and feed that scripture to lift their hearts, whether it's moms, dads, whether it's teen leadership, whatever it might be, it is a burden that we have to continue doing that. Now when you get in your mid-70s, you're not jumping around like you were in your mid-20s, but the doors are still so wide open to minister and to serve in those areas of helping.
And a matter of fact, listening friends, you can check out the website, bgleaders.org. That stands for Building Great Leaders, bgleaders.org. Matter of fact, there is, Dr. Olila shared with me a book that one wrote. It's for their own thesis, but it's about Dr. Olila, A Man Among Them, The Les Olila Story. And it's a very intriguing book that really pulls out many of the principles we talked about here, even the challenges that
yes.
you've gone through in life.
Yes.
And this book you do have available through your ministry for a contribution to help offset the cost of the book itself
right.
and postage. And so if listeners, you are interested in obtaining this, A Man Among Them, The Les Olila Story, send a contribution of $10 or more to Building Great Leaders. And the address is P.O. Box 357, P.O. Box 357, Taylors, South Carolina, 29687. That's P.O. Box 357, Taylors, South Carolina, 29687. Let's go to the phone line. We have Clifford calling in from Walla Walla, Walla, Washington. And Clifford, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hello, how are you today?
We're doing well. What is your question or comment?
Oh, he just mentioned Job ended up in worship, and I was wondering if he was. I have a passage in Job 40 verse 14, where it says that that God spoke to Job and says, you know, if you do this, if you clothe yourself with beauty and honor and righteousness and put on excellency and put away pride from your life, then I will reveal unto you that your own right hand can save you. And so, as far as worshiping, when we offer our bodies to God, say Acts chapter 17, it basically says that God is not worshiped by men's hands, but yet when God changes us and we take upon ourselves the attributes that God gives us, then yes, our bodies can be used for worship. Is that similar to what he was saying?
Yeah, you'll see the reaction that Job had. It's just like David, when David realized the baby died, I said David worshipped. In other words, totally acknowledged, accepting and acknowledging what God was doing in this. And Job had to come to that point that where he, in his worship, he was basically acknowledging the perfection of God's character and that God does not make mistakes. Even though he didn't see what was going on in heaven, he did accept, acknowledge, and to see what God was about. And by the time we get to the end of that, the friends that came to counsel Job, the only way they could stay alive is if Job prayed for them. And I learned a counseling lesson from this, from Job 42, because Job heard God tell the friends, I am angry with you because you misrepresented my character to Job. That's why I said, I put a note in my devotional journal, be careful how you counsel. Do not misrepresent the character of God. Mm. Do not manipulate his character to get a point across. And I think, yes, the worship that came out of Job's heart, and then you see the renewal and the acceleration that happened in Job's life, it was very distinct that he responded, he humbled himself. He said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, now my eye sees you. I abhor myself, or repent in dust and ashes. Job had to come to a point of I am living, the level of I am living. That's a good point, that God wants to be glorified through us.
Thank you, Clifford, for the call. Rex is calling next from Mora, Minnesota. Rex, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I was just going to make a comment. I was diagnosed with MS, quite a few years ago, and I've been in a wheelchair for quite a while, and it's like when normal is gone. In my case, you go through anger and denial and the whole nine yards, I guess, and then you have to find a new normal, and you're not given a new script. You kind of have to experience all that yourself again. But in the process, you can move closer to God. And I was never angry at God. But I do believe that I did move closer to God, and that was essential just to survive, is to move closer to Him.
Yeah, that is the exact point that we're trying to make here, that God will allow things to come into our life that we might be better reflectors of His nature and character. Jesus learned obedience through the things He suffered. And we don't have a Savior who never went through scenarios. We have an empathizing Savior, not just a sympathizing Savior, but one who has been there, tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And when the testing comes, we have to say, God, how do you want me to glorify you through this scenario? And it sounds like that's what you've done. You've gotten to the point of acceptance, adapting, and accelerating until you see Him face to face.
Thank you for the call here, Rex. We're up against a break. Thank you for the call here, and we'll be back in just 1 minute. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewtimes.com. In the wake of the tragedy in Florida that saw 17 people killed at the hands of a 19-year-old murderer, liberals are calling for mental evaluations on gun owners. My friends, this is a trap. The real issue is not guns. The real issue is violent video games, violent movies, and psychotropic drugs. But let's start out with the mental evaluations. Don't forget, it was under the Obama administration that the Department of Homeland Security unveiled a document on potential terrorists. And the potential terrorists were conservatives and Christians. Those interested in Bible prophecy. Those who are pro-life, interested in national security, concerned about border security, and veterans. Liberals will have every conservative and Christian labeled mentally unstable and unworthy to have a gun.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Dr. Les Olala. Our topic is what to do when normal is gone. A reminder of his website, bgleaders.org. That's for Building Great Leaders, bgleaders.org. And for more information about the ministry, you can contact them as well by way of phone or by way of the mail. His book is available through them, Man Among Them, The Les Olala Story. Send a contribution of $10 or more to P.O. Box 357, Taylor, South Carolina, 29687. And adding some extra dollars for postage, I know, would be appreciated. You can also contact their ministry at 906-396-2263. That's 906-396-2263. Let's go to West Allis, Wisconsin. Chris, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, thank you for your show and your guest. I look at my life and my past, and I know we shouldn't look back, because Paul said, forgetting those things that you're behind. But I believe, a lot of things that I suffer through now, I brought on myself. And I am the reason why, through ungodly choices, drifting, becoming complacent in my walk with Christ, it's cost me greatly. And I'm going through suffering and loss and loneliness that I brought on myself. And so this program has spoken to my heart, and I'm having a hard time accepting. And so these steps I'm going to apply to try to get me through this, because I find myself, very lonely at times. But again, I have to stop blaming others and take responsibility for myself. So this program has been a blessing to me, and the Holy Spirit has convicted my heart, and I need to take responsibility for what I've done. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
It's
appreciate your
going. Remember, failures are never final as long as God's grace is operating. And we bask in the fact of God's forgiveness, long-suffering grace. Take what you have now to glorify Him. And you can't keep yourself in the focus. You have to turn to Him and accept the total forgiveness.
Let's go next to Dana, who is calling from Washington. Hi, Dana. You're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to thank your guest for being on today. And
Dana, could I have his talk right into the mouthpiece of your phone? We can hardly hear you here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Better?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to thank your guest for being on today and tell him that he has encouraged my heart. I lost my husband of 37 years back in February on Super Bowl Sunday. He passed away from metastatic melanoma, and he had been my, I'd been a stay-at-home mom, and he'd been the provider and so forth, and what your guest is talking about is totally applicable to me. My life has totally changed now. I'm too young for any kind of Social Security or anything like that, but yet I'm too old. I don't have any job skills or anything like that, so it's a whole new chapter of my life, and I never dreamt that I wouldn't grow, old with my husband, and we wouldn't retire and live out that life. And so, now life has completely changed, and I'm, having to accept the reality of the change. I never was angry or anything upset with God, because I understand that, He's sovereign, and He had His plan and His purpose for taking my husband, but nevertheless, now life is in a rebuilding stage.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank your guest and tell him he has encouraged my heart by being on your show today and the things he has spoken of.
Dr. Olala.
Well, thank you. And you've gone beyond resignation. You've gone to rejoicing, and that's the key, to learn to thank the Lord in all things. Because what I do for my own life, I use the fruit of the Spirit as my checklist. And if something troubles me, I write down the fruit of the Spirit, and I put a check. But God, is it love you're showing me? Is it joy I'm lacking? Is it patience I'm lacking? And I say, thank you, Lord, for allowing that scenario, because I want only to glorify you. Thank you for your sensitivity.
Well, thank you for, like I said, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for your words of wisdom.
Great. Thank you, Dana, for your call today. Appreciate it so very much. Dr. Les Solala, our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're down to just 120 seconds left in the broadcast and not time available for additional phone calls. But what is it you want to leave with our listeners today as it relates to this topic of what to do when normal is gone?
Well, the takeaway that I want to have you go home with and in your own heart is to say, God knows best. I want only to glorify him in this life. I'm not alive to satisfy me. I want only that he would be made to look large by my action and my reaction. And the things that God allows to come into life are by his own wisdom, even if it's my own choices that caused that scenario. It is still the point that I want God to use that, even my failure, to shape me into his image. And we have to thank the Lord, even the fact that we failed, because we realize we can't. He did it all. And when he cried on the cross, it is finished. That sin penalty was paid. And we just need to rest in that and enjoy the fact. When a circumstance comes, don't say why. Say, thank you, Lord. What are you showing me that I've been missing to show your glory in this world?
So these trials can either turn us bitter or turn us better.
Yeah, and that really is the key. And the way I try to turn from bitter to better is use that fruit of the Spirit for my checklist and say, Lord, I didn't realize that I was so shallow in that area. Thank you for allowing that. It showed me by my reaction that I was very, very missing that fruit.
Dr. Les Solala, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and thank you for being with us and discussing just such an important topic for our lives. Thank you so much, Dr. Solala.
Thank you for allowing me to be here. It certainly was my joy.
And listening friends, we thank you for tuning in to Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, his website is bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Their ministry number 906-396-2263. And his book is certainly available through their ministry as well by writing to Building Great Leaders, P.O. Box 357, Taylor, South Carolina, 29687. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.